have ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and everything and anything else our hosts want to talk about. Nils Smith is the innovation pastor at Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas, loves the Spurs, and walking the streets of New York with his family. Jay Cranda is the online campus pastor at Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, loves the Lakers, anything golf, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMCPodcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. My name is Jay Cranda, and I'm with my co-host, Neil Smith. How you doing, Nils?
I'm doing good, Jay, and I'm feeling especially good because, Jay, you are wearing your Lakers hat on a big day for the Lakers.
We just talked about you not bringing this up, and you bring it up the second.
I said it was at the top of my list, Jay. So, announced to everyone, the big signing that the Lakers just made, you know, just really investing in the future.
Yeah.
Okay. Why you avoid it? You know, we'll talk about next podcast. We should be announcing that that the Spurs have another big signing. No. You know, so many. You know, former Laker Pau Gasol is talking to the Spurs. Yeah, there's another guy, Kevin Durant, who won't talk to the Lakers, but he's talking to the Spurs. Great offseason. But you guys signed a big one. I don't even know his name.
It's the newly crowned champion Mozgov that we're paying $16 million a year.
Which, did he play?
As the NBA is continually getting more quick and moving away from the dominant center type of, you know, power forward dominant role. And the only people that are the exception is somebody called LeBron James. And Mozgov is no LeBron James.
Yeah. So, I thought LeBron James won the championship. I didn't know anybody else won.
Different
conversation. We got a lot of things to talk about, Jay.
I know we do.
We had a recommended podcast. We're talking email today, which is an interesting point of conversation. And we're going to get very practical. But before we get there, Samuel Melton tweeted a podcast topic that we feel like you as a Saddleback Church representative can address is medical cannabis and open discussion.
So Saddleback being in California, and we do have international
campus, naturally,
but California California's going to be voting to legalize marijuana. Coming up, so which is very interesting when I saw that news that that's going to be on the ballot. So,
Saddleback is pro marijuana, is what I'm hearing.
No,
okay,
Saddleback, I am not talking about this in any facet or form.
Okay, it's good to get that clarity. Interesting topic, Samuel. This is probably not the podcast for that, but we appreciate the idea.
No.
And you know what? Those conversations are fun for church folks to have, and we needed to talk about it, but we won't on this show. We do, before we get an email, one last point of conversation is Facebook's new algorithm. Facebook is announcing that they're going to, from their perspective, improve the algorithm. I agree with them that they're improving the algorithm. Businesses, marketers, everyone continues to be upset because it's going to be even harder to get in the newsfeed because what Facebook is finding is what's most important to people is what other people are saying, what their friends and family are saying, not what a business that they chose to like at one point chooses to say. And at the end of the day, what Facebook is wanting is businesses to pay to get into the newsfeed. And they still want to give people the most valuable thing to them. What is that? How does that affect churches, Jay? Does that affect churches?
I think it's always a good sign, obviously Mark Zuckerberg is a fairly intelligent person. I just recently drove by the Facebook headquarters, which was really cool to drive by see the whole, and there was another article.
You see the people riding the bikes around?
Yeah, I did. It's so funny. I was driving by in an Uber actually. And they
there you
like,
go. That was very techie of you.
I was. And the guy pointed and he said, "Oh, Facebook headquarters." I was like, "Oh, really?" And like, I pulled up on my Google Maps. I was like, anyways, I was trying to be a dimensional inception moment of techie as I could. but I was saying like the Silicon Valley tourism is so up. Like it's so crazy. Yeah. But at the end of the day, what I really love is is the fact that I noticed there was a phase that after getting so integrated with Facebook that my feed was a little overwhelming. And every time they've evolved it, my home screen my newsfeed has become way more relevant. And so I even saw this on Twitter, did an update a while back, and my feed was so overwhelming. And even I've noticed my feed on Twitter has gotten a lot better. And so with this evolution, it just makes sense because they're getting better at recognizing what you want to see. And I think at the end of the day, it's going to drive churches to be more, direct in how they engage. Because I notice I use, like you posted something this week that was big news in your family life. And I have your stuff favorited on my feed. So I see your stuff as primary. And I think at the end of the day, you're trying to get your church favorited so that stuff is premium. And it just drives churches. You can't just do the same old stuff and think like, oh, this is what it is. The same way somebody would unsubscribe to your email if it's junk, somebody's going to stop following you. And there's so many people, especially during this political season, I've unfollowed people on my feed on Facebook. Cause I'm like, you know what? Their stuff drains me. I don't need to see that. And so I unfollow. They're going to unfollow your church. So, you know, that would be my thing, is you got to always be thinking about how to just be real targeted towards your persona, your audience.
Yeah. I think it's just important when people are on, churches are on Facebook, and I still, like, more than ever, I feel like Facebook is the place for churches to invest when it comes to social media. And understanding the algorithm of the newsfeed is so important, because people are not going to your page. They're seeing content in their newsfeed, and they're relying on Facebook to show them what's most important. If you want them to see it, either provide great content that people are sharing, or pay money, or do both. You know, and it's not that expensive to run promoted posts, sponsored posts, whatever it's called. Yeah. All of the Facebook ads can be very affordable, very targeted, and a good investment. So that's the news on Facebook. Keep paying attention, keep providing value, and you're going to show up in the newsfeed. If you're not showing up in the newsfeed, it's because you're not providing great value. Yeah. It's just do it. Provide great value and spend a little bit of money, and you'll do well.
Yeah.
Let's talk about email, Jay.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
Yeah. So we Saddleback Church just had this big, purpose-driven conference, PD conference.
Yeah, and I saw it everywhere on social media, by the way.
It was fun. It was, couple things. The social media team here at Saddleback, ran by Anthony Miller and Haley, and they brought in Event Lion, who actually friends with ours at Social EU. Cool. They did this online web stream stuff. It was a fun, check out Event Lion, guys, really cool stuff that they're doing. At events like that, you know, I'm getting asked about small, medium churches, larger churches, you know, how to do online stuff. And it's so funny. I'm always amazed that more churches aren't doing a regular email blast. The reason why I'm always surprised is that people forget that your weekly attendance is only probably 80 to 75% of your actual community. Cause at the end of the day, not every church member comes 52 times a year, 52 times, weekends in a given year. Not everybody comes, you know, people are coming 35, 40 times a year. And so at a given time, you only have 75 to 80% of your weekly attendance actually represents your crowd, because people just don't come every week. And so what people forget is that, how do people find out what you're talking about? Well, they have to be there physically. And so email is a great way. A weekly email of saying what you're talking about provides value and perspective to maybe get that other 25 to 20% that wasn't planning to show up, to somehow hook them to come.
Yeah.
And so to have a regular email to say, here's what we're talking about. Now you need to be purposeful about stories and events and so forth, but even saying, hey, by the way, we're talking about broken families, and maybe somebody that 20 to 25% that wasn't going to come will do two things. They'll decide to come because, hey, I'm having a hard time in my marriage, I should come. And they might invite somebody to come. And so having a regular email, and then on tandem, the amplifier is, to steal a word from you, the social media stuff kind of amplifies that. And so I'm always surprised when churches, especially small, medium churches, aren't doing that, because that's just a way to just just do a little bump. And so what would you say to that? Did you agree to that? Do you disagree? Like,
I totally agree. I think that too many churches almost feel like they get behind when it comes to communications. And so they're like, oh, we need to be all in on social media, and they're missing a great opportunity with email. And it's not either or, it's both and. You know, honestly, I think churches can still be doing mailers too. There's value behind physical mailers with certain events or activities that are going on. I think it's an all in companies. You've got to look at the ROI. But at the end of the day, the ROI on email is probably your best ROI. As much as I want to sell social media, yeah. Your ROI on email is so high because the open rates, you know, you're getting directly to those people that choose to get your emails. So I think it's a no-brainer. You need to be doing emails, and I think you need to be doing them once a week should be your target. You know, I often tell churches the most you can do is twice a week. You yeah. should target once a week, and the minimum you should do is once a month. Yeah. Now, I really think a minimum probably should be more like once a week.
Yeah,
generally speaking, anyway. But once a month is the bare minimum. But target once a week as a church. Let's talk about some best practices with that email. What are you seeing as far as maybe getting email addresses, titles, who it's from, you know, graphics, no graphics, platforms? What are some best practices you've seen?
Yeah, I think for sure have a sign up form on your website. I was just talking to a friend of mine who's planted a church, City Rising church here in LA. And he was letting me check out his website, and it was really cool just to see what he's doing. And he was doing it through Squarespace. And so I was familiar with the layout, and I yeah. said, oh yeah, with Squarespace, you can easily integrate an email yep. sign up deal. You should link your MailChimp or whatever you have that you're collecting emails, but do something about, hey, get regular updates about what we're yep. doing. Put that down at the bottom. So I think have a sign up form on your website. Cause even if you get, let's say you get a 30% of people who check out your website, but don't come to your campus, maybe yep. you can get them to, you know, fill out, you know, the form there, so yeah. that they can get updates. And then I think graphically, I think be thinking about, and this is huge, is be thinking that they are going to be reading your email on your phone, on their phone. So yes. as you're laying it out, I think so much people create emails thinking, oh, desktop. Think about they're going to be scrolling through their phone. So I think photos, think about the size, that it's kind of like a phone kind of yeah. layout. Any yeah. good email provider that you're sending it through, make sure that they're mobile optimized. So like MailChimp would be great for that. But those are like my big ones. So how about story? How important is story in
that? Well, I think when it comes to story and it's just good communication skills of having a title that catches their attention, you know, that communicates what the core message is, and then having a core message that one captures their attention but engages them in what you're trying to communicate. And I think pastors should be the best storytellers in the world, you know, as they're communicating the gospel from the pulpit. But I think pastors also need to be good storytellers as writers. And so what we found is if we have our email newsletters coming from our pastor rather than coming from our church, it gets a much higher open rate because it feels like a letter from them, even if they're not fully writing it, even if we're kind of, he gives us kind of the core things he wants to communicate. If we kind of then develop out the story of what we're trying to communicate, and especially if it's a life change story, you know, that really captures people's attention of, hey, we baptized last week, and here's the story of Amy who, you know, found us through our online campus. And, you know, that story captures people's attention. And then you lead to a call to action. You know, one of the things that I keep hearing, and one of the misconceptions is people always say email newsletter. Well, people think newsletter and they think of like old time church newsletter that's 20 pages long. And your email should be an email like you send at work or, you know, to a friend of like, hey, I want to talk to you about this. Can you come this weekend? Can you do, you know, we're going to be doing this. Yeah. And I think it should be one clear call to action of here's where I'm going to get your attention, you know, with the title, I'm going to introduce this. I'm going to kind of tell the story and I'm going to have a clear call to action. And it doesn't need to be complicated and it doesn't need to be overwhelming. Two quick, you know, I would say just technical sides of what I've learned. One is I highly recommend MailChimp. you know, there's lots of options out there. There's, you know, ConvertKit and Infusionsoft, and, you know, we used to use Constant Contact, which I loved. It just never changed, you know.
Yeah.
MailChimp is constantly improving. It's easy to use. They've got forms you can use to, as far as email captures, to put on your website and all kinds of things in social media. So I highly recommend MailChimp as a platform of choice, and it's free for the first 2,000 or 1,000 emails. The other is I got a couple of email templates, both for myself and for clients, created on Fiverr. And so we've talked about Fiverr quite a bit.
Yeah.
I think I pay $20. But make sure, just like you communicated, you have a mobile responsive email template. So MailChimp's basic email templates are just cheesy from my perspective.
Yeah.
Paying $20 for a MailChimp template on Fiverr can go a long way. I found too, by having a button with your call to action in the email, performs a lot better than just a link, just a like a word that is clickable.
Yeah.
So having a call to action button within the email helps with that call to action. So what other thoughts do you have, Jay?
You know, something that I've noticed that I haven't done great at that I notice that is appealing to me is in the image, and I know MailChimp can do this, but to do a GIF or a GIF is the image.
Yep.
And if you want to see a good example of this, how this can be compelling, go to theringer.com. They do this on their website, where they have images, and they don't overwhelm it, but a GIF is a graphical inner, it's like a moving image. It's like,
I looked it up the other day though on like Urban Dictionary, and it says GIF on Urban Dictionary. Just
I know it does say GIF. I noticed that on Wikipedia where it says it's anyways, but the reason why it's compelling is because it's moving, it's going, and it's just not a stagnant image. Yeah. And so I've seen emails.
Those always catch my attention.
Oh,
emails with it in there.
It always gets it because you're like, wait, how did they do that? Now, the thing with it is you can't overwhelm it. And so I like the way the Ringer does it, because what they do is that they'll have maybe like 10 images on their main site and only two of them are GIFs or GIFs. And so the idea is that they don't overwhelm it, because it can get real flashy. But in your email, to have this in such a way that to think about a time where you could use it. So that's something to check out. Just Google, there's ways to do it. I'm still experimenting. So as I experiment with it, we'll share how to do that. But I think that shows, because it's kind of like the thing with Facebook, in the same way why we like MailChimp over these other people, is that even as you need to be testing, and it shows if you evolve, it shows that you're thinking about the future. And so as a church, this is where, you know, email will always be here in some form. It will get lesser. Yeah. But it's such a compelling way that you can go, especially churches all the time go like, well, are really my audience on this channel, on this channel? I'm like, well, you can guarantee, especially if you have a little bit of an older audience, that they're using email. So I think for our listeners, what I would say, go to MailChimp. If you don't have an email service, sign up, create a list. The other thing is go back to some other podcasts. We've talked about automation. They do some amazing things with automation. MailChimp that I use. I both use it for church stuff and I use it for personal. I mean, there's so many different angles for email, but it's a great way to reach that 20% of your audience that isn't coming regularly. You can inform them, encourage them to come, and get them to come out. What are some closing thoughts you have on this?
So one church that I encourage people to check out is Antioch Church in Dallas. And so they're a consulting client of mine, and they have just run with the idea of email. I mean, they're doing some great stuff with social media, but they're doing a great job with capturing emails, and they've used a pop-up on their website, nurturing that email list. They're using ConvertKit. And so really, if you're looking to just see how a church is doing it well, check out Antioch Dallas, sign up for one of their emails. And I think you'll really like what you see, and both the way the email looks, but the way they're capturing it and the way they're kind of just building a relationship with you through email. The other is Facebook's new lead forms. Mm. You can actually, to your audience on Facebook, say, sign up for our email list, or sign up for our email, you know, weekly email from our pastor. People will, you know, easily give you their email address to get on their email list. It's a good way to kind of convert people from Facebook to an email very directly. So you don't have to go from Facebook to a lead landing page to an email. You go straight from Facebook to an email. So that's a great tool. And I would say just start doing it. The one other social aspect that we found to be somewhat successful is the call to action on some emails being just hit reply. You know, so we'll do it as an email, like info@communitybible.com, and just hit reply, and it will reply back to one of our team members who can then help them get connected. So if you're interested in joining this group, just hit reply, and we'll follow up with you and get you connected. It makes the call to action so easy for them. They don't have to go to a web page and put in their email address or somebody follow up with them. It immediately alerts us that they're interested, and we have their email, and we can follow up with them. So those are just a few quick best practices that we found.
Well, and I would say, lastly, check out, go to socialmedia.church. You can see a version of this. We have a call to action, real simple, on our, and our site is built in Squarespace. And so you can see at the bottom, there's a easy way that we give away a freebie, like, and so you can get a free preview of one of our courses. So you can sign up there. And actually, we did that all through MailChimp as well. And so Squarespace is the website. You'll see the way that we tease it for to get to build our email list. And then you'll actually see the automation power of MailChimp. So check that out. So we're going to put all the links and different things in the show notes. We want to thank you again for listening. Go to socialmedia.church, sign up for our email list to see how that's done, and use the hashtag SMC podcast. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church podcast. To learn more about the hosts, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the hosts. Thanks again for listening.